May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. In high school, I had one of those teachers that really grabbed my attention and imagination and sort of inspired me. And his name was Van Brown. Some of you may know him. I realize I'm back in the community where I grew up, so you may know this guy. He had a big influence on me as a kid. And of all of the great things that he taught me, there are two things I remember that are completely unrelated to our coursework. The first is that he showed me, if you take a Bible and you open it as close as you can to the middle, you will always find the book of Psalms. So that's a freebie. If you're ever looking for the book of Psalms, just right in the middle and you'll find it. It's right there. And then the second was, he said, if you're ever in class and you're taking notes or you're just daydreaming, but you don't want to let on that you have stopped paying attention to the professor, all you have to do is this. You stop taking notes, look up for a moment, and nod. And then look right back down. And I was like, that's genius. So I thought, for at least those of you that have to listen to my sermon, let's practice together now, because I know you're not going to listen. You just look up and you can nod at me. Oh, look, oh, they're with me. I can tell. Now, I bring this up because teachers have this profound effect on the people that they teach. There are words and sentences they can say that just open up new worlds of possibility. There are also things they can say that'll send you heading off course in the wrong direction. And that's why James's epistle that Sue read this morning, it starts with this challenge to teachers. It says, look, if you want to teach, you should probably try to do something else. But if you can't do anything else and you're going to teach, then know that the bar is really high for teachers, because you're using words to communicate truth to people. But then very quickly, the author pivots and says, oh, but you know who else uses words to communicate things? All of us. And our community life is deeply affected by the way we talk to each other. And that's all the more kind of ever presently important to us, because as the letter continues, it seems like the tongue and the way that we talk, it's the last part of the human person, it's the last faculty to come under the lordship of Jesus. It's like the last thing that we get control of. And that's why he says, oh, hey, but listen, if you never make a mistake when you speak, I guess you're perfect. You're great, because you must have everything else totally locked down. Because even those of us that are very controlled in body and mind, we still blurt out things that we don't mean. Do you know what I'm talking about? No, okay, good. I know, some people don't. For the most part, it might just be me. So James, this epistle, continues on, and this is so important that he lays out three metaphors to describe it to this community that he's written it to. I'm going to show you what they are. And they're not going to be surprising to you, but it's so much more entertaining to hear it this way. Okay, so this is a bridle, and it goes on a horse. Does anybody know horses and bridles? Okay, some. Here, I'll demonstrate on John Shields. Where's John? There. We'll put it on. I've been telling that joke all day in this sermon, and it kills every time. I think they want you to wear the bridle, I think. And so you put the bridle on the horse, and you kind of strap this over the head, and then this part, this metal piece, is the bit. And the bit is what actually directs the horse. Now, a horse is like a 2-ton animal. It's a big animal. You can sit on it. You can ride it. But the thing that directs it is just this little piece of metal, right? You want the horse to go left, you pull it this way. If you want it to go right, you pull back on the reins this way. If you want it to stop, you pull them back at the same time. And some people, if you ride, you would know, are very talented, and they can utilize the bit and bridle to make the horse do all kinds of maneuvers and configurations. So the author of James says, hey, you know horses. You know how that little piece of metal can turn this huge animal? That's like your tongue. That's like the things you say. Those are your words. They can steer you in all kinds of directions. You know, and it's just teeny. You might even forget. It's like the smallest part of your body, and yet it has this profound effect on the whole of your life. But not to be outdone, he doubles down on the metaphors. And the author says, okay, you want to take the bridle, Darby? Don't play with it while I'm gone. All right. He says, okay, it's also like a ship. In case you don't know horses, Everyone knows ships. So he says it's like a boat. And a boat's great. It has sails that power it and it heads on. But what is it that actually directs the boat? It's the rudder. The wind powers it. The rudder is what steers it. And you can have one little person on here, and they use this little shaft, and it turns the rudder, and it steers the boat in any direction. It says that's like your words. That's like your tongue. It's like the things that you say, they're not just empty. Like, they actually have this profound influence and impact. They matter, and they can steer you in one direction or another. But just so they'll get the point, like, this is so important to this community, he doesn't just double down on the metaphors. The author triples down on the metaphors and says, I'm going to give that to you, too. Are you going to put them all in your prayer desk? Are you going to load them back up for me? Darby, thank you. That's why I've been teasing Shields all morning, because you're actually kind. All right. I never let you hold. Here, let me let John hold the boat. He wants to hold it. He feels like he wants that. Oh, is that good?
About time.
Oh, okay. So he triples down on the metaphor, and he says, oh, okay, your tongue is also like fire. And in the same way that this little match, this little flame, can do all kinds of good, it can cause light, it can cook food, it can provide warmth, it can also burn my fingers, or I could drop it in a pine forest in California and start a fire, right? So there's this incredible generative, creative, good capacity for goodness inside your words and your tongue, and then there is this unbelievable capacity for destruction and death and chaos, all in something as small as a tongue. That preaches, right? That's not even me. I'm just quoting James. It kind of preaches itself. Now, this is pretty challenging stuff, but it's something that we all know to be true. Because let me ask you, have you ever been talking and you were saying something that you shouldn't have been saying about someone and they overheard it? Oh, right? You ever sent an email that as soon as it went out, you thought, I want that back. Have you ever pocket dialed someone, like where your phone goes off and calls someone and you don't know it and they overhear you saying something? These are all just examples from my own life, by the way. Once it's said and someone hears it, it can't be unheard, right? There's all this damage that can happen. Now, on the flip side, let me ask you this. Have you ever been talking to someone that was feeling like they were on the ledge and they wanted to jump, and because of your words, they decided, I'll wait another day? Have you ever been speaking to someone that was hopeless, and through your words, they found hope? Have you ever been talking to someone and you're having a conversation about a wrong that was done to them, and they find themselves able to forgive the person and they're set free right there? Just because of words. Words can also open the hearts to all of this goodness and the movement of God and all this healing. We are, as people created in God's image, we have this amazing ability. Because God creates the whole creation with words. God speaks and it happens. And so there's this unbelievable creative power in words. And we find it represented in ourselves. Like God, we can use our words to generate light and life and have it grow and do things. Or we can use our words in ways that move the opposite direction, that go back toward chaos, darkness, confusion. And we all feel that difference, do we not? Now, some of you are nodding, and I appreciate it, because you may or may not have been paying attention. So you have learned something from this sermon. So my question when I get to this part of the scriptures is, why? Like, why is the tongue like that? Why does it have that sort of power over us? Why is it this little thing that really can steer us off track? And why is it the last thing I seem to be able to get a hold of in my life? Well, it's because the tongue is actually fueled and itself directed by something else. And what it's directed by, Jesus points us out to. Not in today's gospel, but in a different story. Jesus is teaching about the inner life of a person, and he says, oh, if you want to know what someone's like on the inside, listen to what they say, because it is out of the overflow of your heart that your mouth will speak. It's actually not the things that you take in that defile you. There's enough going on in there already, and you'll be able to tell what it is when you talk and it comes out. Do you know what I mean? And so the reason that the tongue is such a difficult thing to wrangle with is because it's connected in so many ways to the most unredeemed parts of ourselves. So when I sit around and I complain and I gossip and I gripe about people and I decide that instead of talking to the person that actually hurt my feelings, I go and complain to someone else, all of those things that I do, they're not because the world around me is so wrong and they just don't get it. What's the real problem? Me. Those are all reflections of my sickness, of my darkness, of the things I haven't figured out how to deal with. I mean, they may be true things. You know, there may be things I actually need to deal with and process. There may have been sins that were done against me, but the way that it comes out of me, the venom, the frustration, but the kind of negativity that can come out, it's all sometimes because of my own darkness. At the same time, words of encouragement. Charles Duckett, you are the real deal. Carolyn, your smile is wonderful. Like, these kind of things, oh, these words can produce life, and they can also be a reflection of redemption that happens within us. And we generate capacity for speaking with power of goodness the more we give ourselves over to this lordship of Jesus. And that's kind of what James's deal is. That's what the whole epistle is about. He says, I want you to be of a single mind. I'm looking for some consistency in this community life. Be all about one thing, and that is God. And the more you seek God, the more you will find your tongue comes in line. Now, when it comes to the particulars of this, it is tricky. Because what's the difference between gossip and blowing off steam? Like, we all know there are times that I need to go to Jack Fleer and say, listen, like, Jack Scruggs up there, he is driving me nuts, and like, I can't talk to him right now, because if I do, I'm gonna be mean. And so I need you to help me kind of process and before I talk to Jack, right? Or likewise, Jack will go to Jack Fleer and say, why does Dixon pick on me during sermons all the time? I don't get it, and it hurts my feelings. And so, like, is that gossip? Or is that just us kind of processing? Like, how does that come up? Like, there are nuances to this. Do you feel those distinctions? And so this is where we trust the Holy Spirit and where the words of Proverbs are so helpful to us this morning. Megan read it so beautifully. Where's Megan? There's Megan. So beautifully this morning. Of course, it's the text is from the first chapter of Proverbs, where it's about the wisdom of God, which naturally is personified by a woman. I mean, please. And all the ladies said, uh-huh, of course. And this woman is personified as cat. That's a ring, isn't it? What? Do you all hear that?
Yeah. Yes.
What is that? Are we feeding back?
It's our system. It's the system.
Okay. Hey, system, I'm in the middle of a sermon. All right, I'm gonna move back and see if that helps. I don't know, I have no control over this probably. So in Proverbs, you have this voice of the woman, and she's calling out, the wisdom of God is calling out in the square. It's at the city gate, and it's this proclamation, speaking wisdom. And so here's the picture. There is all sorts of bad advice out there. There are all sorts of narratives about the kind of life you can choose. There's all sorts of people that will tell you, if you just do it this way, this is how it should work. And then there are those cultural things we don't even think about that we do, that everybody just does. We all know in the South, when we say bless your heart, we really mean I want you to die right now. Right? Everybody knows that. That's what we should say. And so, but there's another voice. There's another voice that's trying to get up over the den, that's trying to cut through the noise and cut through the advertising and the so-called wisdom, and it's trying to cut through, and it's the voice of God. It's the wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit, and it's speaking to us, and it's saying, there's a different way to be. In this situation where you're at, Dixon, I know what you feel like you want to say is this, but really what would be the perfect thing to say, Dixon, is nothing. Keep your mouth shut, Dixon. That's the wisdom of God. Or you're in a situation, you know, where you have this conflict between me and the two Jacks, you know, and instead, and it turns out I am gossiping, you know. I go to Jack Fleer and I'm saying all these things about Jack Scruggs, but I'm not going to ever say anything to Jack. I'm just kind of hoping Jack will take it over to Jack Scruggs and like maybe mention it to him, right? So that doesn't help at all because I have this truth. I've got this thing that I need to talk about with Jack Scruggs, but I'm taking it over here to Jack Fleer and I'm leaving it over here, which means can anything generative come out of it over here? Will it grow over here? Will any redemption or reconciliation or growth happen between Jack and I? No. It's all going to stay over here. That's why they actually call this kind of talk idle talk, because nothing grows out of it. Nothing flourishes. There's no light or life that comes out of it. It's not God talk. So in this case, the wisdom is like, go to Jack Scruggs. Go to Jack Scruggs and talk to Jack Scruggs. Sometimes you're just worn out, but Bill Wells could use a word of encouragement. You know, Bill Wells might actually need a word of encouragement. You're going to make it. It's going to be okay. You know, and so you'll find the Spirit guiding you. We have a good thing going here at St. Paul's. God is doing something special here. It is something really remarkable. I feel honored and excited to be a part of it. And it's because of us and what God is doing in us. But we completely have the capacity to wreck it with how we talk to each other. So please join me, let's listen for that voice of wisdom. Let the Holy Spirit push on, prod on any parts of your heart right now about how we need to consider the ways in which we talk, and let us be directed by that Sophia voice of God wisdom alone that says, come this way, and then let's have the courage to follow. Amen.